How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into here today. We'll be joined with, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike, a Big Audio Nightmare, up at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to talk all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And as always, there is plenty of it. It is the busiest time of the year. It is WrestleMania season, the period between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So much stuff going on. And with this WrestleMania coming up and all of the stuff going down with Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, it is a busier time than usual. On the show today, we're going to bring you up to speed with what is happening with Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and everybody else in this merry world of WWE. What's going on with the WrestleMania card? What's going on with guys like Sting, Punk and Bryan is noted, Batista, Randy Orton, John Cena? We're going to talk all about that here on the show. We'll plug the Elimination Chamber, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Plus, we'll be talking about at least one big return that is scheduled to be taking place on the Raw the night the network debuts, which is coming up in just 2 weeks now. So we're going to talk all about that, plus all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. There were some injuries on Raw this past Monday. Naomi and Cody Rhodes both got hurt. We'll tell you about that. John Cena last weekend hurt his eye. So two eye injuries, actually, in WWE over the last couple of days. So we'll talk about that, as well as the Over the Edge 99 pay-per-view, which is a It's a very interesting situation. The pay-per-view where Owen Hart fell from the rafters is going to be available on the WWE Network. Do you think they should put Over the Edge 99 on the network? I am not a fan of the idea, but it has been argued both ways. We're going to talk about that. Plus TNA, UFC, the arrest of Thiago Silva, all of the latest news. It is coming up here on the program, so stick around, everybody. When we get back, we're going to kick it off with Mike Sempervivi and more. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here, and we got a lot of stuff to get into today. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of New Japan this weekend, and obviously we're coming off a UFC event. We've got Elimination Chamber coming up, WrestleMania, Raw, and I believe this coming Saturday we're going to be bombarded with three MMA shows in a single evening, if you can even believe that. And Mike, anything in particular you're really looking forward to?
Well, you know, now that New Japan is out of the way, obviously Elimination Chamber to see what direction they're going to take for Mania. That's why that pay-per-view is, you know, pretty much fourth now on the list of pay-per-views of WWE to see every year, because it sets everything up with the Elimination Chamber. That I'm looking forward to. I'm kind of looking forward to, in a way, of Saturday night, just because it will be, even though none of the events really make me that enthralled to see them or anything like that, being able to flip through and see all these MMA events going on at once it'll be kind of interesting, be kind of funny to do. So, you know, it's, again, after this weekend, which was so incredibly quiet with just really New Japan taking place, which is so fragmented, we go into next weekend with just a complete bombardment. And I'm not even sure, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's some boxing on as well, too. I'm not sure if it's HBO or Showtime, but you got to throw that on the mix, and it's a busy weekend on the canvas mat.
Now we've got a lot of WWE here to talk about, and we'll get in a little bit more UFC later. Largely the arrest of Thiago Silva we got to talk about, but the big story obviously is the departure of CM Punk. As we talked about on the show last week, CM Punk showed up at Raw and he told Vince McMahon that he was going home, and he proceeded to go home, and he has since proceeded to not answer a lot of phone calls. He is not back in WWE. Nobody knows what the status of CM Punk is. His friends seem to think he's not going to be at WrestleMania. His contract is expiring in June or July. And it seems that we may have seen, at least for the time being, the end of CM Punk. And obviously, as we've been talking about for a long time, WrestleMania season is the most lucrative of the year. And if there's ever a time to show up at WWE and work your date, it is WrestleMania season, but it's not looking like Punk is going to come back for Mania. So Mike, do you think that at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, he is going to return, or is this it for CM Punk?
I don't. If he's going to return, I don't foresee it being for quite some time. Look, simply, there are enough people there that would not want him back. And obviously, you know, if everything was worked out and smoothed over, you know, it would be beneficial to both parties in different ways. But with that said, he doesn't need the money. He's very upset. You have the obvious rift between him and Triple H when it comes over their match. Because, and again, if with him not signing a new contract, the only thing that really makes sense and would make sense to me at least is he loses to Triple H, which would then lead to Triple H and or some other faction against, you know, whoever would be the one to actually conquer him, whether it be Daniel Bryan or Batista or whatever it would be down the line. You know, that would be the obvious thing to do, and I'm sure that's something CM Punk doesn't want to do, you know, if he were to come back. It's just, again, it was a ballsy move to go ahead and do that and to miss out on the money, but there's a lot of people that are now going, oh, okay, I'll take that spot in the money, you know, and you know, again, him being off adds somebody, it possibly adds somebody. You know, obviously Triple H and Daniel Bryan seem to be the direction that they want to go in. And hey, you got that going. So it's a bigger, you know, I'm not sure how the payday works exactly, but it's a bigger deal for Daniel Bryan, possibly, depending on what happens with him in the WWE title picture and all that stuff coming out of it. And I guess actually, since we did the show last, we were talking last week about the fact that, not No Mercy, Extreme Rules would be in Seattle at Key Arena. That ended up not being the case, which was really a surprise to me. And they're going to be at the Izod Center, the old Brendan Byrne Arena at the Meadowlands. And with that said, I know a lot of people may go, oh, it's not in Daniel Bryan's hometown. You know, being in New York and in the New York, New Jersey metro area, you know, it's still a really good deal for Daniel Bryan if they're going to do something there. So, you know, with the bad feelings that have gone on, I mean, frankly, WWE and Punk, I mean, obviously from Punk's end, he needs a break, and they probably both need a break away from each other. And it just allows WWE to do more of what they want to do without that, you know, headache or distraction there. And it gives CM Punk time away, you know, to make his stand. And again, it was a big principle move for him to go ahead and do that, because he could have walked through WrestleMania and taken that money, but he made a stand and didn't do it.
So as noted, there is no update on CM Punk. There's no update on Punk. No talk of any sort of reconciliation between the sides. It's all a wait and see. And I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people, and you know, I noted this in the new Figure Four Weekly this week. I mean, it's a very split reaction to the departure of CM Punk. But I mean, most of the people that contact me are pretty upset about the whole deal. And they think that, you know, this guy, he's got all this money. I know you're upset, but it's not like the feud with Kane and the feud with Hunter. It's not like this is just, you know, it's terrible. It's a burial. I mean, realistically, he has already been beaten by Hunter once. And given the fact that he's likely leaving in July, yes, probably was going to lose to Triple H again. But is it right to walk out of the company? Is it right to just leave without giving any notice? I mean, there are a lot of people that just look at it as rather unprofessional. I mean, others are seeing it like, man, this guy, you know, good for him. He's a hero. But for a lot of people, it was just a very unprofessional thing to do. And they're upset about it.
In pro wrestling, you put things on the sliding scale. And yeah, it's very unprofessional to do. It's very unprofessional to do it with only a half hour before you go live for this 3-hour show. There's other people and things like that are relying on you being there. And, you know, then again, with that said, sometimes you just have enough and have to quit. And when you look at WWE in the past, they fired Charlie Haas and Jackie Gata after they came back from their honeymoon. They took, you know, two people who were making WWE salaries and immediately cut them and kind of made, you know, if I recall correctly, there was a little bit of a joke made about it. And there's been lots and lots and lots of very unceremonial ways that WWE has fired people. And you're an independent contractor. And again, I don't know exactly how the rules and the contracts. I haven't seen one in so incredibly long with WWE in a performer. I don't know how it's worded or anything like that. But you know what? You know, if Punk wants to quit, he can quit. In theory, as an independent contractor, he can go anywhere and work at the same time he's doing his WWE job, as long as it doesn't interfere with it. And they certainly don't let him do that. So, you know, is it unprofessional? Yes, it is. Would it be something I would have done? Absolutely not. But then again, when you're in the position that Punk is in, and you're in this, you know, again, you're in this different, wacky business, hey, you know, it just seems to be that those things, depending on which side you're on, that's whether you agree or disagree if it was a good or classy or, you know, a move like that. You know, it's if you agree with Punk, he had a stand to make. If you agree with WWE, it was incredibly unprofessional. But, hey, that's the way it works.
We are just a couple of weeks away from the Elimination Chamber, and with CM Punk now out, we've got the possibility. We'll see what happens with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is likely to have a match with Triple H at WrestleMania, but there has been talk of moving Daniel Bryan into the championship match and making it a three-way at WrestleMania. And we'll find out more in the next couple of weeks. They're in Los Angeles on Monday for Raw, and it is, in fact, Raw is sold out, and SmackDown is virtually sold out as well. And I guess the question will be, what kind of crowd reactions are we going to get? How is the crowd going to react to Daniel Bryan? What is the crowd going to do in regards to CM Punk, for example? And how they respond and how they react to everything is probably going to determine what they end up doing for WrestleMania. The main events of Mania are not completely set in stone, at least in the sense that right now it's Daniel Bryan, Triple H, but it could be Daniel Bryan in a three-way. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. And we've got the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view lineup. We're 2 weeks away, and guess what? Two matches. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the TuneIn website. You can hear us on the TuneIn Radio app. You can hear us on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, the Sirius satellite radio app. Sure, a lot of places I have not mentioned as well. But we are here to talk all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We're going to talk the Elimination Chamber, the lineup for the show. It is 2 weeks away. Two matches is all we have. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Mike has some comments about CM Punk and main events. So, Mike, go ahead.
I just, you know, was thinking about this at the end. You know, one thing CM Punk said he really, really, really wanted to do and was main event WrestleMania. And it is surprising that, you know, it may have not have been the last match. I mean, there was talk of, obviously, you have John Cena and Bray Wyatt, and you make a case for Cena, or somebody would, that Cena's the biggest star, he goes on last. You have what was probably looking like Orton and Batista, and you have them in a world title match, and it's like, well, okay, the title goes on last. But realistically, even with both of those, and obviously with the backlash that the Daniel Bryan fans have laid into WWE, that world title match, you wouldn't want to put it on last because you have a risk of alienating people, you know, even further, and having the match get booed out of the building by, you know, all the fans that are there who are the hardest of the hardcore fans. You have the world title match, or I'm sorry, you have the Bray Wyatt John Cena scenario, and I'm sorry, as big of a star as John Cena is, and as much as I like Bray Wyatt, that's not the main event of my WrestleMania. It just isn't. Daniel Bryan, you had they were talking about him and Sheamus, so you can take him out of the mix there. And odds are Triple H and CM Punk could have very well been the main event of WrestleMania. And even if Triple H would have won, CM Punk would have gotten to main event WrestleMania, and if he was not going to re-sign or wanted to take time off anyway, which, hey, is fine and completely makes sense to me, even though he's losing to Triple H, and that's something he really doesn't want to do, you know, losing in the main event at WrestleMania, I think, is still wrestling in the main event at WrestleMania. And obviously, it's not optimal and the thing you would really want to have because, you know, if you are going to leave for good or leave for a certain period of time, you're going to be upset that it's the guy that you probably, you know, bristle up with, you know, the most and you go head up with the most is the one that's beating you and he runs the company. But with that said, it still would have been the main event at WrestleMania. And I've heard, you know, and seen things where that's something he really wanted to do. Boy, he really had a hell of a shot to do it this year.
The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view thus far, we have, as noted, two matches. That's it. We've got a six-man tag team match. It is the Wyatts versus the Shield. And we've also got the Elimination Chamber match for the title, the WWE World Heavyweight title, which is Randy Orton, John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Antonio Cesaro, and Christian. So, obviously, the winner of the Chamber is going to go to WrestleMania as the champion. And it's looking like Randy Orton is likely to retain. Although, again, if they wanted to, they could put the title on Daniel Bryan. I wouldn't. If you're going to eventually give Daniel Bryan the title, I think that's something that you build towards in a meaningful way for him to win in the main event of a pay-per-view and not just being thrown into an Elimination Chamber with like five other guys, six other guys or whatever. So I would not put the title on here, but you could if you really wanted to. You could put it on him there. John Cena, I don't see it happening. It's likely going to be John Cena, Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. And obviously with the Wyatt family and the Shield, it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Shield is going to break up. Bray Wyatt is going to be facing Cena at WrestleMania. So if you're ever going to do a match between the Wyatt family and the Shield, this is the show you've got to do it on, basically. And with the Shield likely breaking up and Bray getting a big match, then it only makes sense that the Wyatt clan goes in there and beats the Shield. It all makes perfect sense booking-wise, and I'm pretty excited for that match. They've done some stuff on TV, and it just comes off as two badass teams that are just ready to beat on each other, and I'm pretty excited for that match.
Yeah, you know, it's building to me into the roar of WrestleMania. You know, it's started off very quiet with, you know, like Reigns giving Ambrose a dirty look while they were doing those backstage boiler room interviews. And it's built and built and built and built. And, you know, this will be one big roar probably going into WrestleMania, which I would assume would be the place that you break them off and you make, you know, Roman Reigns on a huge stage, you know, you really say, okay, this is going to be the guy, and he splits away. And, you know, I think the Wyatt family wins, obviously, for those reasons, and that the Shield do something happens with someone that ends up causing Roman Reigns to take the fall and the loss. And Bray Wyatt going over Roman Reigns would make complete sense, as Reigns has been booked fantastic. People don't think about him, even though he's had some losses. You know, people don't think of him as a loser in any way. And they think of him as, you know, this, you know, again, what's subconscious in most of the fans' minds, I would assume, the average fan's minds, is that Roman Reigns is really good. And Bray Wyatt beating him, obviously, he needs some more wins and could use some more wins before he faces John Cena at WrestleMania and needs to be focused upon more because, obviously, Harper and Rowan have been wrestling most of the matches during the, you know, the whole time the Wyatt family has been there. So all of this makes perfect sense to really, you know, there's going to be something explosive, not too explosive because they're waiting on that for WrestleMania, but, you know, that you know, near screaming roar is, it's about to come to a head, and it should be really good at the Chamber.
All right, Randy Orton, John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Antonio Cesaro, Christian, do you see anything out of the ordinary happening here, or is the obvious about to occur?
I would figure the obvious is going to occur.
That would make the most sense. Randy Orton walks out as the title holder. Randy Orton, Batista at WrestleMania, maybe with Daniel Bryan there. And that's really all we've got for the Elimination Chamber, everybody. But the night after the Elimination Chamber, news is coming, obviously. It is the launch of the WWE Network. You can sign up at 9 a.m. the day after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And it is going to go online at 11:05 p.m. Eastern, 8:05 p.m. Pacific, on Monday. And on that Raw, on the final Raw before the launch of the network, it is the return of The Undertaker to set up whatever it is he is going to do at WrestleMania, which is likely to be a match with Brock Lesnar on that show. And Mike, would you presume it's going to be Taker Brock Lesnar? Would you have a better idea?
I don't think at this point you can have any other better ideas. You know, Brock Lesnar leaves WWE the last time anybody saw him all ticked off that no option was, you know, that they offered WWE was taken for him for a match. He's not going to be at Extreme Rule or Elimination Chamber. You know, it seems to be the case, you know, so the Raw afterwards makes complete sense for him to come out and set up with the Undertaker to again, just start it there and boom, let's go. It just, to me, it makes the most sense. Again, what else are you supposed to do? I love the idea of Sting, if Sting would have been in there for a longer period of time or something like that. But again, I don't know what else, because in that case, what else do you do with Brock Lesnar unless you're going to have like Biggie Langston go over him or do something like that? That would be so incredibly shocking to put a guy over at WrestleMania. I mean, it's going to be Brock. And again, same thing with Undertaker. Who's he supposed to face? Bad News Barrett? Brock and Taker makes the most sense.
Bad News Barrett?
Bad News Barrett. I like Wade. This is the sad part about Bad News Barrett, Wade Barrett, is the fact that after Nexus, if you would have had him on just a torrential run of still beating dudes, nobody would have believed that he would have beaten The Undertaker in a lot of ways. But at least you could have had some, it would have been a match or had some intrigue in the last couple of years, and they've completely blown it with him.
I don't see Bad News Barrett Undertaker being a money match at this point.
Ever. And that's,
or
again,
ever.
I don't know if he's, you know, again, you can rehab Wade Barrett because the fact of the matter is, you know, he can beat ass. And, you know, Mark Henry, there have been guys like that, Big Show. You know, if you're a big, bad ass-kicking guy and people know that's for real, you can still rehab him because at some point he just might punch you in the face. So you do have something with Wade Barrett there. It's just the longer this thing goes on, and I love the skits. I really did. I loved it on the JBL and Cole show. But how that would translate to a character, you know, in wrestling, as far as, you know, actually wrestling, doesn't, you know, it didn't make any sense whatsoever.
I like the idea of, like, on Raw, like, you have Wade Barrett on his rising podium, and you raise the podium all the way up, and he comes out, and he challenges The Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania. And then Undertaker grabs the mic, and he says, "I've got some bad news." No! And that's the end of it.
That... Look, that would be, that's like when Ernest Miller got kneed in the crotch by Vince McMahon and then like was immediately fired the next day. If you're going to release, and which they obviously won't release Bear, but if you were going to release him and be done with this, that would be a great way to do it.
I think he should just be on the thing. Undertaker says, "I got some bad news." No. And then you just have Wade Barrett do a scowl as it lowers down to the ground.
A Wade Barrett on a podium match.
That's right. Wade Barrett on a podium match. So, yeah, the Raw after Elimination Chamber is the launch of the network immediately after the show. And obviously there's talk of maybe some other special guests showing up. Maybe we'll see like a Hulk Hogan. Maybe we'll see Sting. There's been talk of Sting coming in as a GM. Although, as Dave noted, Dave Meltzer, no hurry to sign Sting. Which kind of surprises me. Maybe it doesn't. We got about 30 seconds, Mike. Are you surprised that there's no hurry to sign Sting?
Kind of, sort of. But realistically, again, they've got so much going on already. You know, to have him just sign at some point in the lead up so he could debut after WrestleMania when they reset some things, I think that's fine. So I'm not too surprised.
So yeah, that is the update on Sting and the night after WrestleMania. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We got a lot of other news as well, including some injuries from Raw. And I want to get Mike's thoughts on Over the Edge 99 on the WWE Network, a very contentious subject over the past couple of days. Maybe Dolph Ziggler as well. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, and if you're a big fan of this show, have I got the URL for you. Normally, we plug WrestlingObserver.com. Of late, I've been plugging F4WLive.com. That's F4WLive.com. If you can't remember that, if you go to WrestlingObserver.com, you can link up to F4WLive.com. It is our 24-hour streaming audio service. It is running right now, all the time, absolutely free. F4WLive.com. Our latest free shows are always airing live 24/7 on the F4W Live Radio Network. Plus, if you go to F4WLive.com, there's our live show schedule. We do live shows twice a day on the F4W Live Radio Network, so head up there and check that out. I am in Hawaii, and so over the next week and a half, the live show schedule is going to be very wacky, so you can't really rely on the schedule, even though I'm plugging it right now. But what you can do is you can go to Twitter, because if you follow me on Twitter, I will always let you know when the next live show is going to be taking place. My Twitter handle is at Brian Alvarez. All of this information, by the way, is up at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you happen to forget some of it, or you can't remember a website, or you can't remember a Twitter handle, it is all up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there. F4W Live is great. You can subscribe to it on TuneIn Radio. If you've got the TuneIn Radio app, just search F4W Live or Wrestling Observer. It'll come right up on TuneIn Radio. Favorite it, and you can listen to it wherever you may go. And when I return from Hawaii, the live show schedule will be back in action. We got so many great shows. And if you ever miss a show or any portion of the show, if you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, you have full access to our entire on-demand archive. Every show that we have ever done, dating back to 2005, is available for your subscription price at WrestlingObserver.com. It's $10.99 a month. If you sign up long-term, it's as little as $9.99 a month. So head up there. You'll never, ever run out of audio. If you like this show, I guarantee that you will love F4WLive.com and a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. Mike, we had injuries on Raw. Cody Rhodes, God only knows why, did a moonsault off the cage, injured his knee. Naomi is wrestling Oksana, your girl Oksana, who proceeded to drop a knee right onto Naomi's orbital bone. She's been out of action all weekend as a result. John Cena got poked in the eye last weekend, but apparently he's okay, although he did miss Raw. Just a crazy week. Any comments on any of this?
I'm a little offended that you said my girl Oksana, because as you know, I am a fine purveyor of thighs. And anyone who hurts Naomi or Cameron, but really Naomi, that see, nobody's got time for that. And shame Oksana, who, again, you know, it was talked about this week on the radio shows that Fit Finlay, I think it was you and Lance Storm, Fit Finlay would use that as a spot because he's Fit Finlay and can do it. If it was planned that way, whoever the agent is should be slapped upside the head or knee in the eye and or have to take that move from Oksana and take that knee to the eye. If she just did it, it just shows a reflex that says that maybe she shouldn't be there, which is quite possibly the case anyway.
WWE released a list of pay-per-views that are going to be available on the WWE Network, which, of course, launches the day after Elimination Chamber. And one of them, Mike, is WWF Over the Edge 1999, which is the show where Owen Hart fell from the rafters, died, and the show, of course, must go on, as was the claim back there, May 1999. Your thoughts on this pay-per-view airing on the WWE Network? Is this needed?
No, I guess it's not needed, but you're going to have them all on there. This is one of those things. I don't want to come off as sounding callous at all. I'm not a big history changer. When Chris Benoit was, they were talking about him getting pulled out of the Observer Hall of Fame, and we had the recall vote. I was against it. Look, he was already in there. What was done there is done. O.J. Simpson in the NFL Hall of Fame. Both Simpson and Carruth with NFL films, you know, both of whom, you know, O.J. allegedly killed someone. Ray Carruth most certainly did kill his girlfriend, who, if I recall correctly, was pregnant at the time. You don't focus on those things, but I also don't think you erase them from history. And you were going to, you said you were putting everything up there. And I think they should make basically the pay-per-view basically like a documentary. And essentially what you do is you have a wraparound. You have basically you WWE Over the Edge. If people want to see it, you do a documentary first. That's when they click on that and they tell you this is what happened. You're watching this at your own risk. It was very sad. You interview some people. You do everything you can to just explain the circumstances around it, even why you can sit the whole thing. It's basically like you'd watch a documentary on CNN or something like that about, you know, something that happened. That's to me what you do. And then you obviously don't have the part with Owen. You don't show to me the interview with Jeff Jarrett and Deborah, which was one of the most wicked things, because Jarrett and Owen were close. That was probably the most wicked thing out of all that, you know, and having him go out after that, it's so mind blowing. But yeah, to me, you talk about that and you have that. And then, you know, basically like a DVD option, you can choose between the matches that were on there, the Sunday Night Heat matches, as well as all the other matches, the Union and all that stuff. And you do it separately because, you know, maybe you want to see the Heat match because you haven't seen it before between the Hardys and the Goldust and Blue Meanie. But you don't want to watch the Union one or anything like that because it came after the Owen thing. You don't want to think about there being anything on the mat or any of that sort of stuff because you read about it in Mankind's book. I don't want to sound callous or anything like that. And I can certainly understand people who say, don't put it on there. And if you didn't, it's not like I could really argue that. But with that said, I think if you treat it sensitively and you do everything you can to just, again, everybody's emotions around the whole thing, just the whole nine yards, and then say, look, now that you know this, if you want to see it, you know, hit this button. I think that would be the way to go, just because if everything's going to be up there and we want WWE to be open about everything, which they never will be, but they've at least acknowledged the past far more in the last, you know, 5 years than they ever have in their entire history. You know, give me it all.
Here's the problem, though. That was Todd's argument of, well, maybe someone's going to want to go back. They know what happened, but they weren't there and they want to kind of experience what the moment was like or relive the moment or whatever. You know, if that's your argument, here's the problem. The show is going to be edited. All of the references to Owen and what happened to Owen are going to be removed from it. So all you're going to have is a terrible pay-per-view where everybody was miserable. I mean, maybe just because you want everything up there, you can put it up. But to me, you know, you're not using it as a historical reference because all of the Owen stuff is going to be gone. The pay-per-view sucked otherwise because everybody was absolutely miserable and didn't want to be there. So I just don't see the point of even putting it up.
Well, and I'm saying, for me, though, Brian, it's you would have the historical reference because when you click on that one that says Over the Edge, you're going to get, to me, I would make a 20 to 30-minute piece.
Well, I know, but you're not going to get that. They're not going to do that.
Okay. Fine. I'm telling you what I would do. But I'm not going to fight this because there really is no, I'm not bothering to fight it because if you don't want to put it up there, I lived through it. If you don't want to put it up there, fine. I'm completely fine with that. But with that said, I'm also, again, it happened. Okay. You're not going to, and again, they've edited a lot of the references off. So it is just going to be fine. It is just a shitty pay-per-view up there. But I don't know. I would put it up there, but I can't fight if I'm not going to fight a battle over whether it should be up there or not, because I completely understand if people don't want to see it. I am completely fine with that. I'm just saying if you treat this sensitively and you do more of that idea, which they could do, okay, before the thing is up there. You know, they can very easily, they didn't know a week ago if that, or about, you know, at least 2 weeks ago, if it was going to be up there or not. They made the decision to put it up. They can just as easily take it right the heck off of there if they so choose. So, again, I know it's an incredibly sensitive thing, and I know it's, you know, can get incredibly volatile with people's, you know, on both sides of the thing. I just personally, I don't erase history that way. And if you choose not to click on it, you know, fine. If you, again, it was a really bad pay-per-view. I don't suggest anybody go ahead and watch it. I really, really don't. But I also don't stop. Who am I to stop somebody from not watching it?
Well, this again, isn't like, again, what I'm saying is, it to me, it's like, if you're not, if all of the own heart stuff is going to be removed, then you're already censoring the show. And so if you're censoring the show, just don't put the show up. I don't know.
But we, I know, but Brian, and again, I don't want to use the 9/11 thing, but it's not like the media will show the towers getting hit, things happening, all that stuff, but they don't show, you know, the people that were jumping out of the windows and all, and not in this country. I know they do in other countries. It's a lot more, you know, they show a lot more raw type of footage on their TVs and documentaries and occasionally, well, not movies, but certainly on their news shows. But, and again, I guess, look, I just don't want to fight this, but I also don't think, to me, if somebody wants to watch it, why should you stand in the way of anybody watching it? Because none of that stuff is going to be on their own heart. You know, you don't see anything, and all the references, as much as they can, are going to be off of there. I don't see why you would stand so vehemently standing in the way of anybody seeing it or for them putting it up. But again, they have plenty of time to take the thing down, or even if the network starts, enough feedback. And look, I think everybody should be, no matter if you are against having them have this on there, you do need to make your voice known, and you have to make it known loudly. Do it respectfully, but say, I don't want to see this and don't feel anybody should see this, because if there's enough pushback from this is a public company who's very image conscious. If people don't want it on there, or enough of people listening here, you know, write in or make their voice heard, they will pull it off of there. And if that happens again, I'm fine with it.
What happened with Thiago Silva?
Thiago Silva, I got to pull up the story here. I don't want to get any of these details wrong. Thiago Silva walked into his girlfriend's gym, his wife's gym, where she trains in Miami, and apparently went in there with a gun. But sorry, take this over here real quick, because I didn't know you were going to transition to Thiago.
I was blindsiding you. He actually was outside. He never went into the gym. But
she want my money. She want my house.
He was outside the gym honking his horn like a anyway. So she goes out there. He's got a gun, she said. She goes back in. Pablo Popovich goes out there, who runs the school. He sees the gun. He calls the cops. And then the cops basically, you know, they had to follow Silva to his house. He allegedly fled, allegedly resisted arrest. He is currently incarcerated. Allegedly, at one point, he put the gun in his ex's mouth and threatened to kill her. It's a very bad situation. And suffice to say, UFC has cut Thiago Silva, thank God, and Dana White has made it clear that he will never fight for UFC again. So we'll talk a little bit about the history of Thiago Silva when we get back, but not a good situation, everybody, and it's all over the place online because it was a pretty big story, so check it out. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And in looking through the history of Thiago Silva, who was arrested a couple of days ago for quite the situation, Oakland Park, Florida, intoxicated Silva allegedly threatened to shoot 25 people inside the Pablo Popovich Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Center. He violated a temporary restraining order, charged two counts of attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, non-violently resisting an officer. The attempted murder charges later lessened it to aggravated assault. This is the same Thiago Silva we discovered during the break that failed a drug test when it was discovered that his urine sample that he submitted, it was classified as non-human urine. Yes. That does not mean that he submitted an ape's urine or a horse's. It could have meant that he just submitted hot water.
But I don't know. I don't know. There was a rumor that that he was so upset that he got caught for this that he ended up getting rid of that horse, selling it to Alistair Overeem, who then killed and ate it.
I forgot about that. Mike figured it all out, everybody. There's a connection between Thiago Silva's inconsistent with human urine is exactly how it was described by Keith Kaiser. Inconsistent with human urine. The story of Thiago Silva. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We got a lot of stuff coming up. There's going to be a Wrestling Observer Scene Limite coming up tonight with Mike and Dave Meltzer, which may go 5 hours. So that'll be available for subscribers up at WrestlingObserver.com. New Brian and Vinny show is coming up tonight as well from the lovely islands of Hawaii. And we've got shows all over the next week as well. So check it out. Remember, F4WLive.com for the 24-hour stream. It's also linked up at WrestlingObserver.com, which is the website. Want to thank Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA. We'll be back again very soon. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.